I just think the fact that Peyton went to went to Houston and went to dinner with him, he
I mean,
wouldn't
they're
have.
definitely, yeah, I mean, they're all in on him. I get it. We'll see if he actually signs or not.
Nope. Thank you.
What's up, Houdat Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol United Saints Podcast.
What's up, Houdat Nation? Thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol United Saints Podcast. I'm your host, Jason. Here today, Jeff is out having fun with his kids today. So it's going to be a light show this week. Normally, this would probably be our giant crossover season preview mega pod, but we had issues getting everybody together this week, so we're going to do that next week. Thinking maybe we live stream it on Facebook because I don't know how much time is going to be left once we get it posted and game one, which is surprisingly 8 days from now. We've got the first Saints game of this season. It's just kind of crazy to think about that the season's here. But this is going to be a purely Saints podcast now that we're here on the season. There's going to be a lot more Saints things to discuss because we actually have things to talk about. Season's here. I'll go ahead and say my rating's probably about a 1. I've just got a strawberry cane break. I'm trying to go pretty light, not getting too crazy, especially since I've got to double down on this place to pass today. Joining me today is James over from the UK. James, how are you doing, and do you have an update?
Very well, thanks, Jason. It's been a while since we've spoken. I have zero number. Doctor's orders, I am currently not able to drink, which is a bit sad, really. Especially with the season starting next weekend. Usually on a Sunday night, for me, I'll sit and have a few, usually whiskey. Just sit and drink whiskey. It's the only thing that can seem to calm my nerves. There'll be none of that this year. Looking forward to the season finally getting here.
Yep, finally here. It's fun to get to talk about Saints on a full-time basis now.
It certainly is.
Yeah, when you really think about it. So it's possible we could have a couple of other guys show up during the recording of the show. Ben's still working. We've got a couple of other people that could join us. But for now, it'll be just the two of us. But we'll go ahead and get started.
Hello, I'm Kent Brockman, and this is Eye on Springfield.
First topic of discussion, it has kind of been the outside of the Clowney situation, which we'll get to. This has been kind of the biggest news story around here, and that's Alvin Kamara. Didn't practice for a few days. A lot of talk got put out there on Twitter about either holding out or being in negotiations for a contract. And I do remember in the past we had talked about this was kind of a likely, you know, outcome this year, especially considering what Michael Thomas did last year. You figure Kamara is going to do that this year, last year of his deal as a third round pick, clearly outperforming his salary. But he showed up for the beginning of training camp and said the contract would kind of sort itself out. And then lo and behold, I think last week he sat out a few practices, even though he was apparently in the facility. So then it came out, oh, maybe we're looking to trade him. And then, other things came out about us working on a contract negotiation. So it seems like, you know, both sides want to get a deal done. I know the upcoming salary cap decrease next year is going to play into this somewhat, but it seems like no matter what the salary cap is, the Saints always find a way to get under it. I mean, it's funny how the national media still can't understand how we can somehow fit players in, and we're always over the cap, and how do we do it, and yet every year we do it. I mean, this is just what Loomis does.
Salary cap is a myth to Mickey Loomis. It's just something for him to play with, and you know, he does it probably better than anybody else.
I'm curious to see what he's going to do, you know, with next year, I mean, he started the trend of adding ghost years to contracts, you know, that don't exist. So he'll find something else in the rule book to, there'll be some wacky, like a Super Mario mushroom clause that we get and somehow we can keep on their cap. It's going to be some random bullshit like that. But do you think that a deal gets done this season?
For Kamara?
Yeah.
I've kind of flip-flopped on this. I've thought for quite a while he's probably not going to get his second contract from the Saints because of the other free agents that we're going to have to sign that came out of the draft in the same year as him, but also free agents that were already on the team. So I always thought that he was probably going to be moved on and not get his second contract with the Saints. But it does seem as though the Saints are willing to go quite high for him, somewhere between 12 and 13 million being talked about.
Yeah, I think that was the last reported. I know, you know, McCaffrey got 16, and I'm sure that's what his agent is pointing to. But like you said, you've got Lattimore, Ramchek, Demario Davis, Marcus Williams. You know, that's a lot of upcoming contracts. And again, this whole COVID-related salary cap drop is just really having an effect. I mean, normally I wouldn't be as worried because Loomis just finds a way, you know, kick it in the future, and then when the future comes, we'll just renegotiate and kick it even further down in the future. But this is going to make it a lot harder, and not just for the Saints. I mean, a lot of teams are going to have this issue.
The Eagles, we as it stands at the moment, we are 75 million over what they project the cap to be next year. I think the Eagles are 104 million over it. So they've really got to do some cap next year to get under it. I mean, you know, I mean, it's rumored that the cap's going to drop to 175 million, isn't it? And obviously, every team in the NFL have been basing their most recent big contract negotiations with their players based on the cap going up every year. So I don't think the NFL are going to impose it as a hard cap, or it's going to be spread over a couple of years, so it's not as impactful. But teams are still going to, it's going to be carnage next offseason.
You know, yeah, this definitely.
Is teams like New York Jets, who don't spend money at all, they're just going to go mad next year because they're going to be the only team that can sign people.
Yeah, it's you have to think with the number of teams it's going to affect, that there's either A, there's going to have to be some smoothing to it, or B, I wonder, and especially with, you know, the expectations of how much revenue is going to come in. You know, obviously this is based on not a ton of fans right now, but if some teams are going to have fans week one, if it occurs and it goes, you know, you don't have any big COVID spreads, more teams will have more fans during the season. And maybe that number isn't going to, maybe it'll be 190 million, which still will be a drop, but you know, a lot of this is going to depend on how it goes. And if by November, every team has fans at games.
Yeah, that'll make a big difference to it, won't it? That'll make a huge difference. I mean, I think it was based on no fans, wasn't it? The 175 million figure is based on no fans for the season. Now, I don't think it was ever going to get to the point where there were no fans in any game at all this season. But, you know, you've got to go worst case scenario with this.
Yeah, you do. And you know, the good news is, so last week I actually got the email from the Saints about, you know, according to the state, they are allowed to have fans at the games beginning with the second game against Green Bay, which coincidentally happens to be the Sunday after the first LSU game against Mississippi State, Tiger Stadium, which as of now, I know they're planning to allow fans. The issue is going to be technically Mayor Cantrell has authority. If she decides there can't be any fans, then I think her decision could override the state and there won't be any fans. I just don't see how she can do that, but I mean, she's been proven to have a little bit of a power trip in this whole thing and kind of makes decisions based on what she wants to do, regardless of some of the other data. But I have to think that there will be fans at least starting in that second game. And the Saints told me, based on what they're going to do, I should be guaranteed one of the first three games from that point. So it would be that game, the Chargers game, or I think the Detroit game?
Panthers, I think. Detroit's away.
Panthers, okay. Yeah, so I should be guaranteed one of the first two or one of the first three, depending on the number
yeah.
of fans they allow.
So have they taken money from you yet for your season ticket? Have you paid for the full season ticket?
Painful. Painful. Right, okay. They did give people the option to refund without losing their access to tickets for next year. And yeah. I know a handful of people who did get the refund. I think my dad, he got a refund. But, I mean, by the time they announced that, I had already, you know, I had a paid half much earlier than I made the full payment. I think it was the end of May. So yeah. I just assume keep it in there. I mean,
are you going to get to roll over any unused games? So obviously they can't charge you. If you only get three games this season, you can't be charged full price for that, surely.
No, that's my understanding. Now what I would assume they'll do, if the Saints have any home playoff games, they'll roll some of it to there and kind of at the end of the year, whatever's left over would just be rolled into next year.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Well, it makes sense. It's kind of what they're doing with some of the season tickets here for the Premier League and things like that.
I mean, the way I look at it, I've already paid for it all. So, you know, I don't need a refund. I'd rather just leave it in there. And that way I don't have to pay as much, going forward.
Yeah. Cool.
So,
but to answer your question, which was about Alvin Kamara, and then we kind of went off topic a little bit, is yes, I do think they will get a deal done this season. Whether he sees out that deal with the Saints, though, remains to be seen.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, he is kind of in a tough spot. You know, he can't really hold out and not play, because then he can't be a free agent after the season. I mean, he would just come back to us and he'd be in the same spot he is now. So whether we sign him to an extension or not, he is going to play. Outside of a trade, he is going to play for us. And, you know, I can see why the Saints really want him on the roster, because, you know, with the impending free agency that we talked about and the potential to lose some guys, I mean, this is going to be our strongest team that we're going to have. So we're much better off with him on the team than without him. So
this year has got to be all in, all in, which probably will cover when we talk about the next.
We will set up. Here's what we do. We will set up. Here's what we do. We will set up. Bet up. Here's what we do. We will set up. Bet.
What's up, Dome Patrol United listeners? It's about this point in the conversation that we started talking about Jadeveon Clowney. And one day later, this was proven to be futile because he ends up signing with the Tennessee Titans. So once again, Saints fans get burned by a rumor of a new player potentially signing with the Saints. So I'll spare you the conversation we had, since at the end of the day, it doesn't matter anymore. And we'll just move on until later in the conversation.
We will set up. Here's what we do. We will set up. Here's what we do. We will set up.
You know, look, we're now at 3:05 on a Saturday, so all the cuts were due to the league office by now. So they're going to start trickling out more and more.
There are a few I've seen, if you want me to read them out.
Yeah, go for it.
So Emmanuel Butler.
Okay, everybody's favorite training camp standout.
Juwan Johnson, wide receiver, he's been cut.
Okay.
Keith Washington, DB. He was the one that's had like 7 interceptions in training camp. Hmm. He's been cut. Austin Carr has gone.
Good old Austin Carr.
Yeah, Garrett Griffin's gone as well, tight end. And then the three defensive line cuts were Margus Hunt, Mario Edwards, and who's the other one? We talked about it before we started recording, and I can't remember his name.
Chickaly?
That's it, Chickaloe, that's it, isn't Chickaloe. It? Yeah, the pass rusher. So, you know, they're starting to trickle out slowly now.
You get a goddamn job before sundown, or we're shipping you off to military school with a goddamn Finkelstein shit kid. Son of a bitch.
Especially considering our biggest rival in division added Leonard Fournette this week. And it's interesting. I mean, I don't know why. I just had a feeling that they were going to sign him when he got cut by Jacksonville. But obviously a lot of people are talking up Tampa, but I always looked at it as, well, Brady's 43. At some point, he is going to fall off a cliff. And I do think,
yeah, to a certain extent,
you know, and I do think for all the hype they were getting, I wasn't necessarily as worried about Tampa just because Brady's 43. And I just don't think I think it's going to hit him hard when it hits him. But now adding a dynamic guy like Fournette, not that I'm worried about Tampa winning the division. I still think the Saints win the division, but it just does make them all the more formidable in there.
Yeah, and I mean,
it's also disappointing to have another LSU guy in our division. Yeah. It's aggravating.
Yeah, well, yeah, every team have drafted every team has drafted LSU guys recently, haven't they? You've got the cornerback at Carolina. Can't think of his name now.
Yeah. Yeah, they drafted him last year. I know who you're talking about. In addition to having Joe Brady there now.
Yeah. And then obviously the Falcons have got Deion Jones.
They have Debo. They took on Russell Gage.
Yeah. And then obviously the Bucks have got
Devin White.
And now obviously Leonard Fournette as well.
Right. They had Quan Alexander before. He went to Frisco. Yeah. Now they have Devin White. Yeah.
I mean, if Brady has a legitimate running game, that probably takes the pressure off him a little bit. I'm just still not sure about the Bucs offensive line. I'm not sure it's the best, and Brady needs that protection because, you know, obviously he's got Gronk coming with him who's got chemistry with, but Evans and Godwin are more deep threats than they are short field receivers. Mm-hmm. And it's I'm not concerned by Tampa Bay this year. Not. I think them and the Falcons are pretty much there or thereabouts. If Atlanta's defense is any good, which touch wood it won't be. But yeah, they've got a lot of games to make up on us, and we haven't got any worse.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right. You're right. I mean, we're still the class of the division. You know, I see Tampa finishing slightly out of Atlanta. Maybe like 9-7, 10-6. But again, like Tampa could be one of those teams. You know, I feel like each year there's a team that loads up and everybody's all on them, and then they fall on their face. And they're definitely the prime candidate to fall on their face.
They're probably the team in the NFL that have got the highest floor but the lowest ceiling as well. They could be a 12-win team, but they could also be a 4-win team.
Especially, I mean, just think if Brady gets hurt in week one or two or something happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, all right. Have there been any more cuts leaked out?
Not since I... TJ Carter?
TJ Carter, okay.
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
No idea.
Yeah, no.
But it'll be interesting to look at those receiver spots because you've got Marquez Callaway that has not been announced yet. You still have Lil Jordan.
Yeah. So what's that? So you got Michael Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, Traquan Smith, Deontay Harris,
Lil Jordan. Then you've got... I guess Lil Jordan and Callaway, I guess, are your top two options for a fifth. Do you think we keep more than five? If we have to keep Tommy Stevens as a tight end, as a fourth tight end, I'm guessing we would probably only keep five wide receivers.
Yeah. So there's one space left for a wide receiver. Hmm.
Interesting.
I mean, that's a pretty... That's not a bad wide receiver room, is it, really? I mean, it's improved now because of Emmanuel Sanders coming in as number two and replacing Ted Ginn. But, you know, I think there's going to be quite a big increase in snaps with Deontay Harris on the offense this year. He's going to do
that's what that's what it seems like. Now that Ted Ginn's gone, he's our guy who can stretch the field, and they've been working a lot with him at receiver. And there have been a few articles here and there this season about Traquan Smith. This is year three for him. It really is a make or break year for him. We've been waiting for him to kind of step up. He's had his moments here and there, but he's never really been consistent. He's had a few injuries, but it's put up or shut up time for him. You know, there is talent there, and you know, if we could get a Tre'Quan Smith that could catch 50 balls, I think that would really go a long way to what this offense is going to do this year.
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, there is talk that Breeze's arm is looking good in training camp so far, but then obviously his arm at the start of the season has never really been a problem. It's when you get to December and it starts aching a little bit.
Yeah. And in addition to the strong group of receivers, you've still got Jared Cook at tight end, and you've got Taysom Hill doing whatever Taysom Hill's going to do this year. And we saw him.
Who knows where he's going to play?
Right. I mean, as good as he was as a receiver in the Vikings game, it seems like they were going to deploy him more in I would say playing tight end slash receiver.
Yeah, well, we talked about that a lot at the time. He was pretty much our only offense in that game.
Oh, so disappointing. Oh, that game.
But yeah, you know, I mean, you know, when your, what was he? Is our third string quarterback caught more touchdown passes than Julio Jones, Odell Beckham, George Kittle last year? I mean, George Kittle had a lot of yards, but didn't have many touchdowns. Our third string quarterback caught more touchdowns than they did.
Yeah, just goes to show you how valuable he was.
Well, that's the reason they paid him all the money this offseason, isn't it?
Yeah. So I think probably the only other kind of question we may have going into week one is who's going to play center? Is it going to be Ruiz? Is it going to be McCoy? I know they've been kind of switching up in practice. I mean, apparently they haven't made a decision. I know both are going to start. It's the question of who's guard and who's center. So at this point, I don't know if there's been any word about who's got any kind of advantage. It seems like Ruiz is more of a natural center, but with COVID and not being able to have a regular offseason, it just made it that much harder for him to claim it. Because I think if we had a regular offseason with the mini camps, OTAs, that kind of thing, I think he would definitely be our starting center.
I think that was the plan, that Ruiz was going to go center and McCoy was going to go to guard. But I think there's only been 2 days of training camp where Ruiz has taken snaps with Breeze. And he's been injured for the past few days as well. So I think that probably means that McCoy will stay at center this year and Ruiz will go to guard and they may do the switch next year.
Okay.
I mean, Ruiz doesn't have to try that hard to do better than Warford did last year. But yeah, I mean, that's the one question on offense, isn't it? I think, is that combination of McCoy and Ruiz on the inside right of the offensive line, because it was interior pressure that kind of was our downfall last year. And we've really got to try and keep Breeze clean.
And if you look at it, you know, anytime the Saints have kind of struggled, as long as Breeze has been here, that's what it's been. It's been that interior pressure that's totally disrupted his passing windows and totally disrupted our flow in offense. And that's why we took Ruiz in the first round this year, which was kind of a surprise to most people. A lot of them thought we'd take a linebacker or receiver maybe. But at the end of the day, you know, if a good offensive line will make your team that much better. So him playing at guard should be fine. I'm not worried at all. I mean, we are going to have one of the best offensive lines in the league. And of course, Andres Pete has come in 15 pounds lighter. It seems pretty noticeable. He did get injured early in camp, but...
Surprise, surprise.
Right. But I guess he's going to be ready?
Yeah, I think he's back practicing now, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Speaking of the offensive line, Cameron Tom has been cut.
Okay.
Likely practice squad candidate, and also rookie lineman Jordan Steckler. Not sure I've heard that name. He's been waived as well.
Okay.
Ethan Wolf has been waived. Sorry, they're all coming through now.
Oh, no, that's fine. No, that's fine. Roll them off.
Here's the big one for you. The Saints have released QB / tight end Tommy Stevens.
Okay. Assuming he clears waivers, which he probably should, because I think a lot of teams were surprised he got drafted anyway, he'll definitely end up on the practice squad.
Yeah, I'm surprised, actually. You know, he may get picked up. He may.
There's a copycat league, and everybody wants their Taysom Hill now.
That's true.
But, I have to think that the Saints were comfortable enough that he would survive through the claims process to go on the practice squad. Otherwise, they'd have tried to IR him.
Well, yeah, there is that. There is that. I mean, like you said, this year with the extended practice squad and no preseason games and no film of these players at all playing, who's going to take the risk? Because they're just going to have to take the risk based on his college tape, aren't they, really?
And if you claim a player, you got to claim him and put him on your roster. You can't just claim him to put him on your practice squad either. So that is the thing with no tape on anybody. I mean, you know, I wonder if more teams aren't going to, especially for rookies with no tape or even, you know, second-year guys with not a lot of tape, instead of going to claim them like they may have in the past, they're just going to stick to the guys who they were able to see in training camps this year.
Yeah.
It's such a weird year. And you know, that'll work in the Saints' favor to be able to keep Tommy. But I do think that's what you may see just because teams just don't know about guys at this point. So they're going to stick with what they know, keep them on the practice squad and kind of see how it goes from there.
Yeah. Well, was it 24 hours teams have to claim off waivers? And then if not, he's probably been told if you don't get claimed, you'll be back on the practice squad. But then,
yeah, 100%, 100%.
You know what happens is they make the cuts down to 53. And then tomorrow, when they've seen who else has been cut by other teams, they cut a load more players.
Yeah, right. That's always been so crazy. It's like you survive the first 53-hour cut and you're like, "Ooh, man, I made the roster." And then somebody gets released. And your team claims him, and then, oh, sorry, you get cut. Yeah. So for a day, you think you made the roster, and then you get cut.
But I think if you make the 53, does that not guarantee a big portion of your wages if you've made the initial 53, even if you're just on it for a day?
I think you have to at least be on it for the first – you have to survive the first game.
Right, so you have to be on the roster week one, right?
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, and it's cut down day is always brutal. I mean, it's – I'm joking about it now, but when you get these guys that are fighting for their lives and then all of a sudden they're told you get cut, especially with the pandemic still going on, it just makes it even worse than before.
Have you watched Hard Knocks this year?
You know, I haven't. And I've really gotten into Hard Knocks the past few years. And for some reason this year, I don't know if it was part of the, you know, delay in training camp, no preseason. I just wasn't into it in the start of the season as much as I have been in the past. So I haven't watched a single second of
it. It's a weird one this year, obviously covering two teams, but the two rookies that the Rams the program kind of concentrates on both been cut today.
Oh, I mean, and that's usually what I remember watching. I think the Browns when there was that tight end that they kept following.
Juiced.
I forget his. Yeah. Juiced. And then he got cut, you know, he got cut at the end. It does make for good drama to watch on TV, but no, I just didn't get into it this year. Maybe next year when we have hopefully a more regular off season, I'll get into it again, but just not this year.
Yeah, no, I think we've spoken about it in the our little group chat, haven't we? It's kind of taken a while to get into it this year. Even the draft was different. I mean, I know we did our live stream show for the draft, which was one of the funniest nights of the year. But, you know, but then just like nothing happened for 3 months and it took a while to get back into the swing of it. And it's helped that our TV provider have just started a 24-hour NFL channel this weekend in readiness for the season. Mm-hmm. So I've been kind of watching that, and we get Pro Football Talk and Good Morning Football and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, usually with the preseason, and it's like you're really ready for it. I don't think I'm. Maybe Thursday when I know there's a game that night, and that I'll watch a bit of. I suspect it'd be like, oh, it's back now. And then obviously next Sunday, late night for me. Game doesn't kick off till 9:30 in the evening. But yeah, it'll be back then. But yes, it's been very strange.
Yeah, I think it's going to take me watching the game on Thursday. I do plan to watch a lot of the game on Thursday. But I do think that's what it's going to. That's going to jolt me just right back into it. I had a couple of my fantasy football drafts the last week or two, so that kind of helped me get into it.
Yeah, we've got ours on Wednesday, haven't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. To be fair, I did watch. Now, obviously, college football start today or last week? I can't remember where it was.
I think there was a game last weekend.
Yeah. So I was just flicking through our channels that cover college football earlier on, and had Marshall against Eastern Kentucky on TV over here, and it was 34-0 to Marshall, and it was the most one-sided game I think I've ever seen. So yeah, I don't even know where is Marshall?
I think it's in Ohio.
Oh, is it? All right, okay. Yeah, the stadium was quite small, so I don't think it's a big one. When do LSU start? 2 weeks?
Yeah, the 25th or the 26th.
Right, okay.
Mississippi State.
Yeah. So, and they decided that they're not doing any out-of-conference games this year.
Yeah, it's a 10-game SEC schedule for the entirety of the season.
And they're still doing the college football playoffs?
As of right now, I know they are doing it. I know the Big Ten and Pac-10 are, you know, they both of them canceled probably way too early. And there's pressure now, especially if the SEC goes and has a full season and everything's fine. So there's rumors that they may try to start their season sometime in the fall, but if they don't start on time, I mean, you can't have an SEC, ACC, Big 12 regular schedule, but then have to wait for the Big 10 to finish in January. And I don't think that can work. So I don't know what they're going to do. They may try to do something, but to me, it seems like as of now, the playoff will just be the three big conferences that are planning to go right now.
So essentially, the college football playoffs are going to probably involve Clemson, because they will, and one of Alabama, LSU, or Georgia, I guess. And what was the other? Is it the Big 12?
Yeah, so Oklahoma.
So that's what, Oklahoma, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not quite as good, is it?
No, but a lot of those teams are in it every year anyway.
Yeah. I hesitated to say LSU, I'm going to be honest, because of the amount of players they've obviously lost to the draft, and obviously Jamar Chase has opted out.
That's big. Shelvin opted out too. So it was always going to be tough for LSU with the number of losses, but now losing those two guys too, they will be a talented team. They're just going to be a very inexperienced team. So I still think they can win 9 games, possibly 10 games, but in terms of competing for a title, I just think it's impossible to ask for this year, which is it's fine with me. You know, last year was so great.
Last year was the unicorn, wasn't it? It's never going to happen again.
It really didn't never happen. Never, ever happen again.
I mean, if you just go back, gone off topic a little bit here, but obviously the season that Burrow had and the wide receivers and the offense averaging, was it 41 points a game?
It's just everything. He threw 60 touchdowns.
it's mad.
I mean,
absolutely mad.
You know, that's like a random Hawaii offense, but even better than that. You know, some of those crazy whack offenses. but to do that against the competition that he did is just absurd. It really is absurd what happened last year.
Yeah. How do you think he's going to do in the NFL this year?
I know their offensive line is iffy, but I think he's going to do surprisingly well. You know, he'll take his lumps. He'll get sacked a decent amount. He'll throw a few picks, but I think at the end of the day, he'll put up maybe 25 touchdowns.
As a rookie, kind of that's not going to be bad, is it? 25 touchdowns.
Yeah, like maybe 25 touchdowns, 15 picks, something like that. But I think the kid's the real deal.
Yeah, no, I do too. I do too.
All right, I'm gonna go. You know, I guess I'm going to go piss real quick, but I guess we're kind of done.
I think we are. I don't think there's anything else left to.
All right.
Well, I'll go ahead. Going through like predictions and stuff like that.
Next week, can't we? Yeah, we'll save it for everybody else.
I mean, I know what I'm predicting for our record, but I won't spoil it.
Right. All right, so that's all the show we have for you right now. We want to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling your friends about the Dome Patrol United podcast. Follow us on Twitter. We've got two feeds, at Dome Patrol US and at Dome Patrol UK. You can like us on Facebook to watch our live broadcast, which I think we will have next Saturday for our big season preview. We will be live streaming that on Facebook.
Hopefully.
Or if you want to listen to us the old-fashioned way, you can go to Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com. Sorry. I always miss that. Always
that's
miss
all right. That's all right. That's all right. So in the meantime, say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye. Bye-bye, donkeys.
Good night, Hootat Nation.
New birth. Rebirth. Trombone shorty. Living like birds in the magnolia trees. Child on the rooftop. Mother on her knees.